But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where results are compelled. As we behold God's word today, we become the true reflection of His word. You will be blessed.
Blessed to have in our borders such a very, very graced vessel of God. Many of us have drank from the brooks that flows from His soul. We have connected to Him at one point or another. Today it has pleased the Lord to bring Him right to our doorstep. And so I want every one of us with Jesus' joy. Listen. I want us to prepare our hearts for an encounter of a lifetime. Any attempt to introduce Him will fall short of His true pedigree. So it is important that I do what I have to do quickly so that I will not constitute nuisance. With Jesus' joy and with a round of applause. Kaduna, join me as we welcome God's choice vessel. My father, our father, Apostle Michael Oropo.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have you been blessed already? Are you ready for the final dose tonight? Can we appreciate Jesus for His servant, Apostle Ephraim Manuel, for raising this platform? I saw so many persons outside and my heart was burdened. I think next year I will have to be part of the planning for this meeting. So we look for a bigger facility. We appreciate God for His entrustment over the life of His servant. It takes a lot of authority, of grace and of mercy for what is happening here to be happening. And for that we say the Lord will receive all the glory in Jesus' name. One more time, let's receive the music ministers that have been a tremendous blessing to us. Apostle Mike Exe, Minister Caleb Davis. Thank you so much for yielding your vessels to the Lord. We are blessed and we are honored. Tonight the Lord will do a quick walk and He will cut it short in righteousness. I'll be sharing for just 30 to 40 minutes. And I trust that the hand of God will come down heavy upon us in the name of Jesus. I want to salute all the ministers of God that took out time to come tonight to fellowship. Again, we are honored to have you. Thank you for not despising what God is doing here and taking out time to come share fellowship. God bless you richly in Jesus' name. Can you lift your hands toward heaven at this hour and ask the Lord to minister to you, visit you, and to touch your life? We hail you. have come to draw from your everlasting fountains. Father, you are sufficient for us and even much more. And so tonight in you we have satisfaction, we have fullness, and we have fulfillment. And so we ask that you graciously pour of yourself onto our vessels and cause us to become that which you preordained even before the foundations of the world. Do this, precious Lord, and take the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much, choir. God bless you richly. I began a journey last night, and it was a bit difficult to travel as far as I wanted tonight. I will attempt to keep it a bit calm just to be able to say some things, because the burden I have for meetings like this is not only to see people touched, it's not only to see people healed, it's not only to see people receive interventions from God. The burden I have for meetings like this is to see people so empowered that they become God's outstretched arm to a generation. By implication, what I'm saying is that you don't just receive healing, but when God wants to heal a people, He will send you there because you are fortified. And that's why I'm so blessed by what the apostle shared briefly before bringing me up. It's not just going to be a move of the anointing. The light of God will be shed on the souls of men so that they become that which they hear. That's the true miracle. That men are transformed and men are transfigured to embody so much of God and to communicate Him to a generation. And so last night I began talking about the keys to an ascended life. Because the theme of our conference is mounting up. And I remember telling us that the ascended life is actually the calling of the believer. Because when you study the life of Jesus, that is how, or that was how He lived, making all the impact that He made in the course of His human lifetime. And for every one of us to live an impactful life, we must follow the pattern that Jesus Himself modeled. And so I read from John chapter 3 verse 13. And Jesus was speaking. He said, "No man has gone to heaven or ascended to heaven at any time." He said, "But the Son of Man which is in heaven." And I began to explain to us why Jesus would speak in this manner. I told us when God created man, it was God's desire to see man operating from the heavenly realms. Because man is actually in the earth, but is not of the earth. He is here to bring God's government to the earth realm as His representative to this realm. Hallelujah. God planted him here as His ambassador to this realm, communicating His essence, unveiling His dimensions, so that the earth can become a vital constituency and colony of the heavens. And so when you see that scripture, two things Jesus revealed. He didn't just come down from heaven. He said the Son of Man which is in heaven. That means He lived from heaven. Because for you to survive in this corrupt world, you must live in a realm that is superior to this realm. And what He's talking about there is not theology, it's experiential life. And once and again, He allowed the disciples to peep into this reality in order to understand it experientially. In the scripture, Matthew 17 verse 2, at some point, the Bible said He carried Peter, James and John. And He went to a high mountain to pray. And He said while He was yet praying, He was transfigured before them. And they saw visibly that a cloud descended from heaven
And standing there was Moses and Elijah. And when they were coming down from the mountain, coincidentally, Jesus told them to ensure that no man hears about this. Because this is not something you publicize. This is a calling for those who have appetite for to come up here. Hallelujah. So he showed them how he dominated. And this was Jesus' routine on a daily basis. Because in Mark 1:35, the Bible said, early, a great while in the morning, he said Jesus went to a solitary place. There, he prayed. So before he enters the city, he communes with the heavens. So he enters the city, not from his bedroom. He enters the city from the third heavens. And so when he's talking, those who are in the descended realm, they have no choice but to obey his commandment. Because that was God's plan. It was his desire for Adam to live like the prince, one of the princes of heaven. But he lost his dominion. And I told you that because Adam lost his place in the heavens, today Lucifer has a place. Because before now, Lucifer was also a prince in heaven. The Bible said he was cast from the mountain of God as profane. So he was no longer capable of operating as a kuriotes, a dominion that functioned from the heavenly realms, having authority over a constituency. He no longer had that right. But when he took Adam's authority, the Bible said in Job chapter 1 that there was a time when the sons of God came to fellowship with God in heaven, and he said Lucifer also came. And they couldn't drive him out because he came with a legal authority. He came with the Adamic authority. So even though he was not supposed to be there, there was an authority that gave him legitimacy to function there. Now, we who were designed to live from that realm, we were edged out. And so on account of God's benevolence, he decided to send another Adam so that there will be a seed for us. But you see, the way God operates, he operates from the realm of perfection. So you see, even though the second Adam came, there was no longer a seat in the council. Because seats are allocated to dispensations. And the seat that was allocated to our dispensation is already taken. So the only seat that man can now sit on is the throne of God. That's why we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that's why I told you that our own order of operation is superior to the first Adam. Because we were supposed to gather around God as princes, but there's no seat there anymore. Until God creates another realm, that's when another seat will be brought there. And so because there is no other seat, we have to share the throne of God. And so where Christ is sitting, that's where we are now sitting. So the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So when God is giving commandments, we flow in that river. And when we are giving commandments, it's as though God is giving commandments. Because we are now inseparable. Because the only way we can come into the throne room is to become one with God, to sit on his throne and to function from his realm of authority. Are you following? But I said, for you to experientially walk in this reality, legally, the scripture has made that allowance. But experientially, it's for those who can mount up. That's why, although you and I are seated with Christ in heavenly places, but not every one of us is functioned like one seated in heavenly places. Because there is a spiritual protocol for you to function from that order. And I said the first of that is the capacity to wait on the Lord. When a man begins to wait on the Lord, there is something waiting does to him. Waiting causes him to migrate from his downgraded experiences to his upgraded reality. And so I quoted for us and I read for us from Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28, where the Bible was trying to give us the weakness of man. It said even the youth shall faint. In case you take so much pride in your human ability, he said the young men shall utterly fall. Now the youth and the young man is supposed to be the express manifestation of the zenith of the capacity of the humankind. But it's saying when reality and things that matter are unveiled, he said the youth will faint. The young men will utterly fall. He said, but there's a technology that substitutes our weaknesses for God's divine ability. He said, they that wait upon the Lord, something happens to them. And he shows us how that thing happens. He said, before that thing happens, they must mount up with wings like the eagles. When they mount up, they come into their ascended realities. So they begin to function from their enthroned realm. The realm where they are seated with Christ. In fact, Paul was teaching this in the New Testament context from Colossians chapter 1, from chapter 3, from verse 1 to 3. And he said, if you claim that you are dead with Christ and you are resurrected in him, if that is supposed to be true in your life, he says, seek those things that are above. Because it's possible for you to claim that you are dead with Christ, you are risen with him, but you are not functioning from there. So Paul is saying, what will make you function from there is when you begin to seek those things that are from there. He says, set your affection on those things. Because if you don't ascend into those realities, you can't manifest them. And this is not even a question of theological argument. Because when you go to the hospital now, you will find many Christians there dying under the influence and the power of demons that they are supposed to be seated far above. It's a sign that although legally it is so, experientially it is not so. Because if we are seated far above principalities and powers, they cannot have authority to dominate us or to oppress us. So if you find Christians who are oppressed by principalities, it means legally they are supposed to be seated far above, but experientially they are not. And Paul said the only thing that will bring you experientially to the far above realm is when your affections are on the things above. And when your affections are on the things above, the transport medium of accessing the things above is to wait upon the Lord. He said, when you wait upon the Lord, you begin to mount up with wings. Every one of us have a wing waiting for us in the spirit to fly. But only few of us are ascending. Because only few of us are waiting. He didn't say if an apostle waits. He didn't say if a prophet waits. He didn't say if an evangelist waits. He said, they that wait. Anybody who is born of God that chooses to wait. He said, mounting up is a natural thing. In fact, it's not your duty to find out how you will mount up. It will happen to you. For those of you who have had encounters, you know how things work in the spirit realm. There was a time I went to the prayer altar. See, I want to stand here. But this anointing won't let me. The way the anointing works. I was telling myself yesterday, climb the platform. That place is brighter. Help the video guys. But when I come, I will go back. That's how the anointing works. A spirit is manipulating you. A spirit is driving you. And it's as you are following the rhythm of that spirit. That's when you enter the realm of utterance. And you start saying things that are in the heavens. It's part of waiting. You submit to the anointing. You will force yourself. You cannot. You will try. It will be impossible. I told myself, this place, the video will be brighter. Stand there. I will go up and come down. Because it's part of waiting. If you don't know how to align with the flow of the spirit, the set of utterances that should change the meeting will be there, but your tongue can't catch it. Because when you enter there, you will wear it like a garment. And then suddenly you begin to function like one of the stars of heaven. You begin to function like the prince who is situated in the galaxies of God. Because those things are there, but you have to ascend. And so I told you, there are three things about waiting. Number one, I said, is to be patient in God's presence. Build stamina. Stay there. When you go there, many things will want to draw you out. Anxiety, troubles of life, distractions, everything will want to pull you out. Tell yourself, I won't live here. And then tell your flesh, if you like, throw all the tantrums, I will remain here. Better be aware that it's tomorrow I'm going out. So anything you are doing, just stop disturbing yourself. As you stay there, after some time, you will discover that your natural propensities will begin to shut down. It will begin to shut down. And as it's shutting down, your spiritual propensities will begin to arise. And after a while, your sensitivity will shift from the natural to the heavenlies. Because that capacity is instituted in you. When the Holy Ghost came, he came with heavenly infrastructures. The Bible said we were created in Christ Jesus unto every good works. There is a new creative order that you carry now. The Holy Ghost came with tools of heaven. He planted it on your inside. But it's as you are waiting that you begin to wear those armors. As you are waiting, those things begin to come on you. And you will discover your eyes were not designed to see only the natural realm. You will discover your senses transcend the natural. And you will start hearing echoes from another realm. And suddenly, you will hear the presence and the voice of angelic beings. And you won't even know the theology of explaining how. But you will know, you know. A point will come, you will know that the energy of the environment has changed. you can tell that two angels has entered. Somebody else who is in the natural will say, how do you know the number? I don't know how I know. But there is a faculty in me that knows when angels come. And that faculty can tell how many. But it's in the ascended realm. As you stay there, after a while, you will know that an oil is flowing. And you can tell what that oil is for. You can tell if it's for prosperity. You can tell if it is for power, for workings of miracle. You will just know heavenly things will become real to you. Because what is happening is that you are mounting up with wings like the eagles. And the more you tarry, the more real they will become. And so the first order of waiting is the ability and the capacity to stay in the presence. But I can tell you the reason most of us are functioning as ordinary men is because we can wait everywhere but God's presence. We can stay in any place, do anything but in God's presence. When it has to do with God's presence, we become tired. That tiredness is a sign that you are empty. And so no matter how tired you are, stay there. Sleep there, wake up there and keep waiting. If you stay for a while, the energy you require to mount up, it will come to you. That energy will come. Because it's like a flight. It will come and take you there. And then I said the second thing about waiting is to submit to the move of the Spirit. To submit to the government of the Spirit. Like I'm doing now. I will go up, it will drag me here. I will go, it will drag me here. I can't, if you ask me now, what is the theological explanation for you not to stand on the stage? I will be lost. There's no interpretation. If you say, give me two verses why you are here, I don't know. But I know that when I go there, there's a force that pulls me here. And maybe it's the unction on Apostle Wefa. Oh, now I see. It's the unction. There is a radar here. As you submit to that move, that pull, that government of the Spirit, a point will come where it will begin to stir you. It will begin to stir you and it will begin to open you up. As it starts opening you up, then you go to the third layer of waiting, which is sensitivity. Sensitivity is your ability to focus on what God is doing part-time. Because you will not be the one to pick the signals. The signals will actually draw your attention. But it's your duty now to focus on it when it gets your attention. Sometimes you'll be there and a song begins to play. You will just pick a song. In fact, most times, you won't even know the song. You will have to go online to search for the lyrics. Because that song came from heaven. The same way it was given to the first person who sang it. That's how it is now given to your spirit. And so you will go online and check the lyrics and start learning how to sing that song. Because that is your vehicle of the spirit. If you don't latch on that song, you can't fly. The song came to take you to heaven. You know, when Elijah wanted to fly, he knew the spot. He said, today the Lord will take me. But he didn't know the vehicle that was coming. And so he was following. He was following. The Spirit took him from one city to another city. Through another city. He passed through four cities. If you ask him, why are you passing through city to city? He doesn't know. He's following a map. He's following a map. And when he came to the Jordan, the place was on the other side. He needed power to cross over. The power was not the thing at that time. Now is to ascend. And the Jordan was parted by power. He crossed over to the other side and he now started sensing heaven. He now told him, now, what do you want? I can see, I sense the vehicles coming. What do you want? He doesn't know what it is, but he knows something is coming from yonder. He said, what do you want? And Elisha said, I need two double portion of your unction. He said, you have asked for a difficult thing, but if you see me when I'm carried, you have it. He doesn't know how, but he knows he'll be carried. And so he started checking. He started checking until suddenly the Bible said a chariot of fire descended from heaven and a whirlwind carried him. If he missed that whirlwind, it's over. That's how these things work. God will start training you, refining your senses, because there is a flight you must catch on a daily basis. Sometimes as you are in that place, you start hearing a melody. A melody so quiet, you may need to quieten your spirit to hear it more. And as you are hearing it, it becomes louder. It becomes louder. And then through that melody, an angel will enter your room. You can't teach it. You are only carried there. Sometimes, as you are there in that quiet place, talking to the Lord, you will just start hearing a word, a scripture will start coming to you. A scripture will come to you. The scripture will come to you. If you know this technology, what you will do is, if you don't know the scripture, you go and read it and start talking it. you'll start talking, because what you are doing is that you are aligning and synchronizing with the movement. You are aligning with it. I am the light of the world. They that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but they shall have the light of life. And then you start talking it. You start talking it. After a while, the thing will overwhelm you, and something will enter your realm and carry you to another realm. So the activity of sensitivity has to do with focusing on what God is doing part time in your spirit, until that thing becomes the only thing your spirit is sensitive to. When your spirit catches it, it will take you to another realm. And when these things begin to happen, you will discover that you will enter your heavenly realities. Men will look at you, they will know you are not the same. They will know that you are not the same. They say, all men seek you. Why? Because he came from an ascended life. He came from an ascended order. Trust me, these are the secrets that God wired into creation to form our advantage. But the reason many Christians are helpless, calling on the Lord every day, is because they have not mastered these things. And many times, if God wants to help you, as you are calling upon him, he will either send you a teacher, a teaching priest, to come and open your eyes to this thing so that you practice it. Because the thing you are asking God for is already answered. But you must understand the protocol of accessing it. And this is where many Christians miss out. You are trusting God for a job. You are trusting God for a promotion. You are trusting God for healing. And God is saying, you are the custodian of all I have on earth. It's no longer with me. I've released it. You take it. But you need to understand the protocol and subject yourself to it. And the first protocol is the art of waiting. And the devil knows. And so one of the major goals of the devil in the last days is to create turbulence in the souls of men. Through the cares of life, through the deceitfulness of riches, by all means, he will put so much noise in your soul. You wake up, you are thinking house rent, the next thing your child is convulsing, the next thing somebody calls you and says something happened in the shop, and then from morning till night, there is trouble everywhere. And then you are running. What do I do? You call this neighbor, you call that neighbor, and the people you are calling is only to create more channels of enslavement. So you move from one wahala to another wahala, and you keep moving like that. And for 3 years, you have been running helter-skelter. When you become wise, you will stop. When the devil creates turbulence, you will enter your room and lock the door. Even before you respond, you will not respond from earth, you will respond from heaven. They say, your son is dying, business is failing, there is fire here. Wait, you shut the door, and you go to heaven. What is happening? You pray in tongues, kapaka. You are trying to silence your spirit. When your spirit becomes silenced, then you will enter the realm of the secrets of God. And God will tell you, be still and see the salvation of God. Sometimes in that quiet place, one word will come to you. One word. That word carries the whole answer. You will just hear, my Redeemer liveth. And as you come out of that room, you will not come out with house rent. You will not come out with fire extinguisher. But you will come out with, my Redeemer liveth. As you come out with that, my Redeemer liveth, somebody from Canada will call you and say, ah, give me that your account number. It's been long. The house rent will show up from there. Another person will call somebody else. You will discover that the victory of man on earth is a complex spiritual algorithm. And so the lines begin to fall in pleasant places. The forces of the divine starts going to work. And you will stand and see the salvation of God. You will be still and see the power of God. Because you went to where creation itself has its root. And so everything that manipulates nature will begin to work in your favor. Because even your problem was manipulated. And so your answer will come by a more complex manipulation. And if you know this is how things work, before the problem comes, you will go ahead. And so you wake up in the morning, you go to wait. So you come from the realm of waiting. And so before any crisis comes, you have picked it already. And so while the devil is talking, you are laughing. And they are wondering, why are you laughing? Because when you were waiting, what you heard was laughter. And as you are laughing, the power of God goes to work. So the devil was thinking you start calling people and running helter-skelter. How can you be laughing when your house is on fire? I got the answer before the problem came. You come out from the realm of waiting and you are singing. You are singing. And the devil is wondering, why are you singing? You are mobilizing angels because you know today he will try to attack your life. And you see, you start walking in realms of diverse intervention. And men look at you and say, who is this? You are a waiter. That's how we win. That's how we take over. That's how we mystify our life and make the devil dumb as if he doesn't know what he's doing. It's a superior mystery. For those who have not known it, you will do it when there is problem and win. For those who know it, they will do it before problem comes. And so you'll be wondering, why is he so much at peace in the midst of crisis? Because he already dwells where the answer is. He has already seen the answer before the problem came. And so he cannot be perturbed and he cannot be moved. This is the secret of a victorious life. This is the secret of an ascended life, that we come from the realm of waiting. We have all the answers before all the problems come. And the devil can't understand us because we are connected to a frequency that is superior to everything he's doing. It's a key for victorious living. The noise in your soul will drown you. The turbulence in your heart is your defeat. Don't bother about what is happening around you. Bother about what is happening inside you. Are you following? Life is mystical. And only those who understand the mysteries of life will win. Imagine a man whom they are planning to kill on the road by 8 a.m. on his way to work. And he went to wait. And suddenly he sees a clock and he sees 10. He will now wait at home till 10 o'clock before he leaves. Even the assassins will be tired and say, for the past 10 years, this man goes to work by 8. What is happening today? He waited. And so the one day you didn't keep to time in 10 years is your day, is your life. And they can't understand. They put charm on your chair. You waited. And then when you waited, before you left the altar, you saw that you didn't sit in your office today. You were sitting with the mechanic. Or you were sitting with the gate man. You now come to work. You sit there at the gate. Say, bring all the files here. Even the person who put the charm will come and kneel down and say, who are you, sir? And you will not know that there is charm there. But you have waited. And they will kneel down and say, forgive me, sir. Because the law they gave them is that if he doesn't sit there by 12, you will go mad. And then you are just with gate man. You are learning Hausa for the first time. Malan, Yakai. They are saying, what is Yakai? They are calling you that they are business associates waiting. You say, come here. You want to go to the office, that thing is drawing you to the gate. You go up, you come down. You go up, you come down. Because you have yielded to a power that is superior to your insight. You have yielded to a power that is superior to your brain power. You have yielded to a power that is superior to your humanity. And so even when you are about to succumb, that force will draw you. And that's how Jesus lived his life. The Bible said Jesus must go through Samaria. What is the must there? Even him doesn't know why. But according to the plan of heaven, there is a woman that he must deliver that day. And if he delivers that woman, the city will be taken. And the disciples are saying, no, we are not supposed to pass through this route. He doesn't know why. They were supposed to pass through the city to buy food. But he had to go through Samaria. He said, Jesus must go through Samaria. And he came to Samaria. He became exhausted. He said, go and buy food. Let's eat here. Why don't you go through town? There is a power. And as he sat there, the woman came. He won the woman and the woman won the city. And when he finished, he passed through the city. And the whole city gathered. And you are wondering, who is this man? He's a man regulated by the Spirit of God. Because he waits, he gets everything right at all time. That's the secret of the ascended life. The second thing that makes for the ascended life is the light of God that you have in your possession. You cannot walk in the ascended life until you function by light. And this is what every apostle knows. In fact, Paul, one of the greatest prayers of Paul, go and check Paul's prayers for the churches. There are two major prayers you will see Paul praying for the churches. You will hardly see Paul kneel down and say, Lord, heal them. Lord, make them rich. Lord, intervene. You will hardly see Paul pray like that for the church. When Paul kneels down to pray, he's praying that they will have light or that they will function in love. These are the two major prayers Paul will always pray for the churches. From Ephesians 1, 17 to 21, to Colossians 1, 9, to Romans 1, 11 to 14, to Ephesians 3:15 to 16, every time Paul is praying, he's praying either for understanding and light, or he's praying for love. Because these two things make you invincible. Look at what he said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Go to verse 16. Let's begin from there. See, if I am able to hit my note this night, somebody will become intoxicated. You will know that what you call a problem is a joke. It's your platform of manifestation. Trust me, you will stop fighting for this pulpit. This is the smallest platform you will have in your life, to stand on the pulpit and preach. Your platform is every challenge that comes your way. Because what kills others will make you shine. What sinks others will make you rise. What destroys others will make you prevail. Because light comes to you. And so you will discover. Go and check. How many of us are talking about where best the host are preached from? That's pulpit. That's not the platform. Every time you hear his name, he raised 17 dead men. Every time you hear his name, he destroyed poverty and made many rich. It is the things that were supposed to be challenges that he overcame that became the platform that immortalized his name. And so, when you know these things, you won't run away from problem. You will tell the devil, throw your best shot. We are here to show you that there is a God in heaven and we are representing him on earth. Every challenge that men fear becomes what you shine with. Paul said, for this cause, when I heard of you, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What is the prayer? He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. Because the moment your eyes are enlightened, you start entering into realities. And see the three things Paul said you may know. Number one, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And he showed you how he wrought it, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And he went further to tell you the location in the heavenly places. He said, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but even in the world that is to come. So when you have light, you will not only exercise dominion in this world. Paul is saying, even the world that is to come, you have power in that world. So we are not talking about demons. We are not talking about devils. He said we are living in a realm far above all of them. And he's saying the power we are talking about here is even beyond this age. He said you are going to have authority even in the world that is to come, because that's the power he wrought in Christ, and that is the power he shared with you. But for you to walk that power, he said it's at the mercy of wisdom and revelation and knowledge and enlightenment. The moment this light comes upon you, you start walking above demons, above principalities, above powers, and you start exercising dominion in the world to come. You remember it was Paul that said, I know a man many years ago. Whether he was in the body or in the spirit, I can't tell. He said that man was carried to the third heavens. He didn't go there to beg. He went there to reign with Christ. Because right now, we already have access to power. That's why the Bible speaking in Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 2 to 4, he speaks about those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and have handled the powers of the ages to come. So the power we are dealing with here is not just the power to rule in this realm. We have left this realm long ago. The realm God is expecting us to rule now is in the ages to come. Most of us are supposed to be functioning now like rulers of nations in the world to come. Not to celebrate over the earth. The earth is already an inheritance that we have taken. We have We are completed with this realm. We are contending for inheritances in the world to come. But Paul is saying, it's at the mercy of light. It's at the mercy of light. See, when you have light and you talk, those who don't know you will think you are arrogant. I'm telling you the truth in Christ Jesus. I lie not. There's no nation of this world that I see as a privilege to enter. There's no nation. Sir, there's no nation. I tell you, under heaven, in all humility, there's no place on earth that I stand down and call a privilege. I can thank God for opportunities because it gives me access to manifest Him, but to feel happy and excited that I went somewhere, that one can't happen again. Because I am now a participator of a realm superior to the earth realm. I go to places that where kings of the earth can't go to. I've stood in God's presence. I've stood in the council of heaven. I've gone to places where even your mortal body is not permitted to enter. And so there is nothing of earth that can throw me off. If I choose to honor you, it's because I understand honor. If you think I'll be intimidated because I'm invited to a place or I stand with somebody, that's a lie. That era has passed because of the things I have seen and the places I have been invited to. And that is not because I'm an apostle. It's because I'm a believer that is pursuing light every day. And so the more you catch light, the more access you are given. The more you touch light, the more access you are given. And I want to show you a few things that God has made available to us in the economy of light that gives us authority not just in this realm, but in the world to come. The first is eternal life. You know, Jesus was speaking and Jesus said, "For God so loved the world." And the way God manifested His love was to give us one thing. He summarized everything God gave us as one. He said, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, "that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." One thing God gave everybody is eternal life. And then you ask yourself, what is eternal life? The day I dared to study it, I kept quiet. I knew we had not started to understand what Christianity is. The day you understand eternal life, you will understand what true Christianity is. And I can tell you, we have not understood it. Because what I knew about eternal life before now is that eternal life is a sickless life, is a deathless life. And so when you have eternal life, you can live above sickness, which is beautiful. But when I went to study eternal life, the first thing I saw that shook me was the meaning of eternal life itself. And what I saw was that eternal life is the life that powers the world to come. So the creatures that we live in the age to come, the life that we walk with is the life of God. That life is the life that powers that age. And so when God gave us eternal life, what He did was actually to give us authority now to live here as though we have already been raptured. It's just like wearing a suitcase or a space suit on earth. So when you go to space, you are living comfortably there as though you have brought space into the earth realm. And so when astronauts are going to space, they will need a lot of gadgets to go there. But you now have the ability to function on earth as though you are in space. What eternal life did for us is to give us ability to live on earth as if we are in heaven. And so the reason we call it a deathless life is because in the world to come, nobody dies. The reason we call it a sickless life is because the world to come, nobody falls sick. However, it is bigger than a sickless life and a deathless life. It is the life of the age to come. And so what it goes to mean is that anything you read in the Bible that will happen in that age, you can do it now. And so beyond sickness, beyond death, you can choose to change your transport mode if you understand eternal life. You know why? Because in the world to come, they don't need planes to fly. In the world to come, they travel at the speed of thought. So a man who understands eternal life now, like Philip, he can leave Samaria and go to the wilderness by the speed of the wind. A man who understands eternal life can leave the wilderness and go to Asotot by the speed of the wind. So when there is a plane, he will fly. If there's no plane, he's still not limited. And so when God gave us eternal life, He wanted us to function as a wonder on the face of the earth. And so, if you understand this, it means that no government can threaten you. It means that no individual can threaten you. Do you know what happened? When they arrested the apostles, they locked them in the prison. And they said tomorrow they would decide their fate. They put soldiers at the door watching. You know, they were growing in this thing. The first time they arrested Peter, an angel had to come down. And when the angel came down, the chains of Peter fell off on their own accord. The prison door opened on their own accord. And Peter went out. After a while, they started growing. Peter didn't need an angel to come down anymore. They locked them behind closed door. The soldiers were standing there till morning. When the Sanhedrin came in the morning and said, go and bring them, they opened the door. They were not there. They didn't need doors to open anymore. They bilocated from that place and went out. Because they had mastered this thing called eternal life. A point came, they didn't need angels to intervene. They have become like the angels. Because the life that powers the world where the angel lives, that's the life that powers them. So they can function in this body like angelic entities. And so while you were celebrating a huge testimony that an angel delivered Peter, Peter was growing. And a point came, Peter doesn't need angels. If you lock him behind closed door, he will come out, the door will still be locked. And you ask, where are they? They said they are standing in the temple preaching the word of this life. Because that's what they discovered. And so when they looked for them, they were not in the prison, they were in the temple. The same temple they told them not to enter, and they were preaching the word of this life. And they say, how did they get there? They went there by eternal life. When Peter began to master this thing, a point came. Peter didn't need to lay hands on anybody. They said, people are sick. Really? Put them, I'm waiting, I'm coming. And when Peter was done, you know, when he entered the temple in Acts chapter 3, the Bible said he saw a man that was lame and crippled. And the man begged them for money. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. He was still growing. A point came in Acts chapter 5 verse 15. Peter doesn't need to give a speech anymore. They said they kept those who were sick. He had grown in eternal life. Anything that leads me communicates the name of Jesus. Anything that leads me communicates the power of Jesus. And when Peter was coming out of the same temple of prayer, they now lined up, no longer one, but many. And Peter didn't address anybody. Imagine if Peter was addressing all of them. Silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, I give you. Silver and gold have I none. He will be there from morning till night. But when he mastered eternal life, even his shadow could communicate it. And the Bible said they aligned everybody that was sick. And as Peter was passing, anybody his shadow touches stands up. Anybody he touches, he stands up. How did Peter migrate from laying on of hands to laying on of shadow? It's eternal life. So what he was doing, he was bringing the world to come into their realm. And the moment you come under his shadow, you come under the atmosphere of that world. And instantly sickness will leave you, because sickness does not exist in that realm. It's light. Christians are praying and begging for what they should be mass producing. Christians are begging for what God has given to them to give to the world. Do you know healing is not meant for believers who are growing? The least set of people in church are the ones who require healing. Children. He said healing is a children's bread. Because when he gave healing, he gave it actually for the world. He gave it for the world. Those who have no right to participate in the commonwealth of Israel, they are the ones we give healing to so that we can win them to Christ. And he didn't tell us to go and preach in order to heal the sick. We actually heal the sick before we preach. He said, these signs that follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick will recover. When they recover, they will now ask you, what power is this? Then you will tell them it's Jesus. Because healing now becomes a byproduct of our reality. It flows out of us like a river. But how can that open? How can that work if we have not understood the life we carry? The same life that God carries. That's the life he put on our inside. But if light doesn't come, you will carry the life of God and die like a man. And that's why he said they know not. He said neither will they understand. He said they walk on in darkness. He said, but I have said unto you, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. There is a life force and a life order in your spirit. When Christians gather waiting for healing, it breaks the heart of God. Why would they not know that they are supposed to be rulers over sickness? Why would they not know that they are supposed to be rulers over the demonic realm? Light has not come. When the early church began to grow, they were growing in life. They were understanding life. They were mastering life. And so when you see people gather together, they are experimenting on the new things they have learned. And so when we gather, after we pray, there are those who should start learning to put these things to work. I touched the blind, the eyes open. I blew into the ear of the deaf, the ear open. That's the practicals we should be doing in our gathering. That's the exercise we should be doing. Somebody said he's poor. I spoke life into his business. And after 3 days, the business began to grow. And then you are gathering those testimonies because you are putting life to work. You are exercising yourself in life. You are mastering life. Somebody said he cannot walk. You come out of the place of prayer. You put your hands there. It's not religion. You are transferring something. And as you are putting that hand, you are conscious. You are talking to the bones. You are releasing energy to the bones. And then you tell him, stretch the leg. I want to see how much voltage I have put inside. And he stretches the leg. It doesn't work. That's not the time to be afraid. That's the time to exercise. That's the time to engage. And you put your hands there. In fact, when I was studying this under Andrew Womack, I think either Andrew Womack or one other minister, I forgot it. No, Corey Blake. And Corey Blake said something. Corey Blake is the one who took over John G. Lake's ministry. And you know, in John G. Lake's ministry, it's practicals. It's not story. In fact, in his healing meetings, they call it divine healing technician meeting. That means you are workers, you are doctors, you are spiritual doctors. That's what it means. He said, when they touch somebody and the person is not healed, he said, what you do is increase the surface area. You know how you increase the surface area? You were touching like this. Your transmission was low. Increase it. Touch like this. You need to transmit more life. If it doesn't work, touch like this. Join the hands shoulder to shoulder. If it doesn't work, hug him. When you hug him, there will be enough voting. They understand the tangibility of life. See, there is something on your inside, sir. When you receive Jesus, you didn't join a religion. When you receive Jesus, you receive the life of God. Your work with the Holy Ghost is to master how to transmit it. And so when you are talking, talk with consciousness. You know why? Talk is the release of the energy of life. When you touch people, do it with consciousness. It's not when we come to church and religiously people kneel down, you close your eyes, you lay hands on them. That's because your sensitivity level is low. So you need somebody to kneel down. You need to close your eye before you are able to transmit. Or God, when you master this thing, even in the market, when you shake somebody, you know something has entered him. When you touch somebody in the bus, you know something has entered. Because we are distributors of life. We are communicators of life. That's what God gave us. So that we can saturate this world with his energy. So that we can saturate this world with his life. Imagine how many Christians are gathered here. If we understood eternal life, Kaduna is too small. Because when you are entering the market, you say, thank you, Father. I am going as a distributor of your life. And so you enter the market. A point comes, even the fruits you are touching, you are living life there. You don't know that fruits have life. You don't know they have life force, but you bring a superior life force. And somebody is sick, you hold an apple, go and give him. It's not religion. When he eats that apple, you have put something on that apple. And that apple will become a conveyor. That's what Paul knew. And Paul transferred it even on the handkerchief. Handkerchief. You think Paul is cleaning it. It's not. He is conscious that anything that touches him carries something. And Paul was invited for a meeting. He said, take my handkerchief there. What do you think Paul knows? It's not a mantle. It's a revelation. But it takes life. It takes light. It takes light. And when this light comes, you will just know, I carry something of God. I carry what powers God. And so when I show up, God shows up. When I act, God acts. When I touch, God touches. You carry this consciousness, and as the consciousness is growing, the bandwidth becomes larger. And when the bandwidth becomes larger, you discover that what flows out of you becomes higher. But many are not aware. That's why we think it's about shouting. Sir, it's not about shouting, it's about voltage. It's about voltage. A man who carries this thing can sit down and say, When he says, what he will release into the atmosphere will be stronger than somebody else who doesn't have consciousness and is shouting, fire, 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 fire. It's not a rhyme. It's not a nursery rhyme. Something is in you. And when you become conscious of this thing, it flows out of you. And as it starts flowing out of you, it begins to change your world. Let our gathering not become religious. This is the school of the Spirit, where princes are taught their inheritances in Christ Jesus. He has given you his life. And everywhere you go, you have the authority to release that life. You have the power to communicate that life. That's what God gave you. The second thing God gave you is his name. You know, when Mike was singing about the name of Jesus, I was just overwhelmed. Because some of the things God showed me, he humbled me. The name of Jesus came to make you vitally connected to heaven 24/7. You know, when you want to die in the UK now, you must have to put +444. +44, I beg your pardon. Otherwise, you have credit, but you can't dial it. If you want to dial America, you must do +1. Canada, +1. If you don't do it, you can't die. Any nation you want to access, there is a dialing code. Everybody that carries the name of Jesus is not just carrying the dialing code of heaven. He's connected to heaven. This is not religion, sir. This is to make you a vital participator of the heavenly realms. And so, the name of Jesus for us who are born again is not just what we call, it's what we wear. Because we need to be vitally connected to heaven at all times. And so Romans 14:13 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him on. Make no occasion for the flesh. Listen, when you are walking about, you are walking about connected vitally to heaven because the name of the Lord has been named upon you. In the Old Testament, where they didn't have this opportunity, the Bible said in Proverbs 18:10, it said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein and they are saved. In the New Testament, we don't run into the name of Jesus. We wear it. It's our first garment. And so when I touch you, the name of Jesus touches you. I don't even need to say in the name of Jesus. No, that's not how it works. The reason you say in the name of Jesus is to help your consciousness. Jesus came in the name of the Father. You will never see Jesus casting out demons and saying, in the name of Jesus, go out. You will never see Jesus praying for the sick and saying, in the name of the Father, sorry, go out. He came in the name of the Father. He was clothed with the Father. So much so that Jesus said, if you see me, you have seen the Father. If you touch me, you have touched the Father. So when Jesus looks at the demon, he says, get out. The demon knows that he came in the name of the Father. When Jesus sees the sick, he touches them. They are healed. Even the sickness knows that it came in the name of the Father. For you who is a Christian, when the consciousness of Jesus becomes strong on your life and you know you are wearing him, when you come, you'll be shocked that demons have not responded. When they are there, you just look at them, you say, out! Even they know they cannot stay. Because that name keeps you connected to heaven. When you talk, heaven moves. Number two, that name activates the dimensions of God. See, in the Old Testament, when you study the Bible, there is something you will notice. Every time a man encounters God, he gives it a name. You know why? They know the purpose of name. Names are not just for identification. Names are capsules that host dimensions. Names are capsules that release dimensions. And so when Abraham encountered God and he said it's El Shaddai, he carried that name and gave it to his children. So anytime they say El Shaddai, the supplier supplies. Because if you have the name, you can invoke the dimension. You see that? That's how they operated in the Old Testament. So you see Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi. It's not because they are calling God many names. In the Old Testament, they didn't have enough light and a name that can encapsulate the totality of God. And so they had to have a name for every dimension of God they wanted to see. If they want to see power, there is a name they will call. If they want to see healing, there's a name they will call. If they want to see provision, there's a name they will call. But in the New Testament, God doesn't want us to walk about calling 1,001 nomenclature. And so the Bible said, it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in Christ bodily. And so when you come in the name of Jesus, you come in El Shaddai. You come in Nisi. You come in Shammah. You come in Sharon. Shalom. Everything God represents is encapsulated in that name. So when you wear that name, what are you wearing? You are wearing God. And so when men see you, they see God. When they touch you, they touch God. In fact, Jesus taught us to understand this so much. He said, when they hear you, they hear me. Luke chapter 10 verse 16. When they hear you, he said, they hear me. I talk through you. He said, when they touch you, they touch my realm. They touch my dimension. Why is that so? It's because a name was given to you. Does it not shock you? Only us have the right to use the name of God. When Jesus was resurrecting, he told them, go and tell Peter and the disciples, I'm going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. From that day, we received the right to call the name of God, to wear the name of God, to represent the name of God. Every other creature in the earth realm is hoping and trusting that one day they will have that privilege. But you don't know what you carry. As you are sitting here now, El Shaddai is on you. As you are sitting here now, Nisi is on you. Shama is on you. Shalom is on you. Because when you say Jesus, all of that dimension comes alive, waiting for which one you want to use. That's why you can come for a miracle service. You'll say, in the name of Jesus, healings are taking place. Breakthroughs are happening. Different kinds of things. People are receiving favor. Because every time you raise that name, it's like a router. Anything you want in God, you can take. Anything you trust in God, you can have. And that is not only for an apostle. That is not only for a prophet. That is for everyone that believes. He said, the name of the Lord is named upon you. And so when you are going to the market, you are going there with a consciousness. I carry the name of Jesus. And this name, demons bow before it. This name opens any door. This name, this is not religion. This is your consciousness. Because when light comes, it becomes your reality. Did you not read? He said, he gave him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And Jesus has gone to heaven. Who is carrying that name now? It's you and I. And so when you call that name, every knee have no choice but to bow. Because we are using it legitimately. The problem with us is that we understand natural things. We don't understand spiritual things. If they call you from Aso Villa now and tell you, President Tinubu says, go and represent him tomorrow in a function, you will quickly go and start looking for your best way. Because now you know you are coming in the name of the president. When you come to that meeting, your intonation will change. Your steps will change. You will sit down and be waiting for them to introduce you. You will just know that you are the sensation of the occasion. You will be waiting for the time when you will speak. And then when they call you, you will walk like a prince. And you will stand and start making even promises that Tinubu didn't tell you. That's how politicians set us up. They'll come and say, well, Mr. President said nothing. But they have come in the name of Mr. President. So anything they say stands. And then you'll wear your best clothes and you'll hear voice. Nigeria has been struggling for some time. But the time for Nigeria has come. Who sent you with that one? You came in the name of the president. Can I assure you, Mr. President told me to tell you that things will happen. This will happen. This will happen. And people will have no choice because you came in the name of Mr. President. Anything you promise, they will take. Anything you say, they will take. Unfortunately, Mr. President will not do it. But the one who sent us. The Bible says, faithful is he that calleth. If you show up and you say in the name of Jesus, he must respond. Because Jesus is not Tinubu. Jesus is not Obama. Jesus is not Carlos Slim. Jesus is not Bill Gates. Jesus is the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords. Inasmuch as we respect all these people we have called, we know that they can fail because they are men. But he said, God will never fail. He said, the Lord changeth not. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. And he is the same forever. I saw Abraham believe him. He didn't disappoint him. I saw Paul the apostle believe him. He didn't disappoint him. I saw Peter believe him. He didn't disappoint him. And so I know that he cannot disappoint me. He's not in his repertoire. Even if you are not qualified, because you have that name, he will respond for his name's sake. Because his name is at stake. His integrity is at stake. His name is at stake. His glory is at stake. His name is at stake. His throne is at stake. And so when you show up with that revelation, you just stand. You said, it is written. Jesus said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And as you are saying it, the hell will be shaking. Demons will be trembling. Because they know that when you call this name, the one that sent you will respond. They know he will answer. Every demon knows that God does not fail. You are the only one who is not aware. That's why you are calling it in fear.
The day you know that God will not deny himself, and the day you know that demons already know, you will become intoxicated by that name. And so you are going to Kaduna, you say, I come in the name of the Lord. You are going to Ghana, you say, I come in the name of the Lord. You are going to Cameroon, you say, I come in the name of the Lord. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein and they are saved. He has given him a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus is the Lord. You just come with audacity. See, faith will come alive in your spirit. Faith will come alive. Do you know why we expect honor? We expect miracles? We expect signs and wonders? Because we are coming in the name of someone. I know I'm not qualified. I know I don't deserve it. But the one who sent me deserves even much more. And so I will not be surprised anything that happens to me. That's how it works. When you start ministry, imagine those of you serving the apostle now, and then they invite him somewhere, he can't go. He now tells you, go there and represent me. The same city that you went to and trekked, nobody knew you came. Now you will enter. People will be dressed in suit waiting for you at the airport. Because you came in the name of another. The same honor that they should bestow upon him, they will have no choice. Even if they are not happy that he didn't come, they will put the honor on you. They will not like your face, they will put the honor. They will carry you in the jeep, take you to the hotel, and you will be there, enjoy yourself in a 5-star hotel. You will wake up, you are in a, you just enter a jacuzzi, you take a shower, you come back, lie down, this bed. Sometimes you don't even like the room. You say, I need another room. The protocol will look at you. Are you okay? You need another room. When you look, you say, yes sir, yes sir. He will go back and be angry, but you came in the name of another. So he has no choice. When they are carrying you to the meeting, the driver is frowning, and then you are asking him questions, he will not be happy, but he will still answer. When you look at him, he will smile by force, because he has no choice. When you enter the auditorium, even your host is not happy, but he has no choice, because you didn't come in your name. You came in the name of the one that sent you. That's how demons operate. When you show up, you say, in the name of Jesus, the demon looks at you. He is angry, but he will go out.
Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Yeshua.
See, sometimes you go to certain places and then you see a demon that thinks it has taken over, troubling and profiting people. You come and you say, in the name of Jesus. Even the demon knows you know what you are saying. The demon will be angry. It will have no choice. Sometimes when they are going out of pain, they will look at you and say, you will see. They have no choice, but they have to obey, because you came by superior authority. Come out! The demon will throw the person out, but he has no choice. It must go out. Sometimes you come and contact somebody whom destiny they have shattered, and then you look at the person and you say, in the name of Jesus, I change your story. Even the demons will have no choice. But you see, everything they have planted, everything they have organized, in order not to destroy their resources, they will quickly take it. Because the moment you spoke that name, their program has scattered. I don't know what you know, but I tell you, when you come in the name of Jesus, you come in the power of God. You come in the honor of God. You come in the glory of God. You come in the majesty of God. You come in the powers of heaven. There's something we carry. We are not ordinary. We are not victims. We are not at the mercy of society. We are not at the mercy of the systems of this world. We are not at the mercy of the wickedness of men. There is something we carry. For some of us, that name is a shield. They looked at you, they cursed you, but you can't go down. They planned against you, you can't go down, because there is something you carry. It's the name of the Most High. When you show up, because he's king, you come as a king.
Because he's guarded, you come guarded. Because he's honored, you come honored. The devil can do nothing about it. Listen, we are so backward in spiritual knowledge. We are waiting for somebody to look at us and tell people that we are good. You won't find many of them. If you are waiting for a man, you won't find. Because our word is a wicked word. But when you are going out of your house, carry that name. Carry that name. You will enter that place. They won't like you, but they have no choice. They will gang up against you, but they can't break you. They can't destroy you. Because until they destroy Jesus, they can't destroy you. And the last time we checked, he said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Every devil has already been defeated. They know him. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. So when you come in him, you come as a lion. This is why sometimes we are so intoxicated. There are times where I wake up, somebody calls me by 1 a.m. and I carry the phone. What is happening? They are shouting, my mother is dying. Oh, oh. They are trying to make me know it's important, so that I will join them. Oh, oh, oh. I say, relax. Where is your mother? Put the phone on her ears. In the name of Jesus, death, go back. And then I'll go to bed. I don't need to be agitated. When I said Jesus, heaven moved. They will say, they are crying, they are shouting. They want you to know this is a serious matter. Oh, she's dying. Death is not more powerful than Jesus. The Bible said he rose from the dead. He said, I am the one who was. I am the one who is. I am the one who is to come. I died, but now I live forevermore. Sometimes they are trying to make you know how important it is. They said seven herbalists gathered together. Seven herbalists? They said somebody carried her picture into a calabash somewhere in Akwa Ibom, and they went to Calabar. The one we are talking about, the Bible said he descended into Hades. He didn't fight devil in heaven. He didn't fight demons in heaven. He went to their own territory. He didn't even fight them on earth. He said he descended to hell. It was in hell that the battle took place. In the stronghold of the devil, principalities came, powers came, rulers came, wickedness came. And when all of them gathered and they thought they had overcome him, the Bible said on the third day he was raised back to life by the glory of the Father. And he said death could no longer hold him captive. When they came to the tomb to look for him, he said, go and see, the tomb is empty. He has risen, as he said. It was not a coincidence. He prophesied it before he died. And when he died, according to his word, he rose again. Who is that devil? Where is that city? He fought in hell and he overcame. Even the devil knows that coming to earth is a disadvantage. You see why we chant? Sometimes these things intoxicate you and you don't know what to do. You are in your room and it just becomes real to you. And you tell yourself, we are my enemies. We are these demons. We are those planning. Are you not aware that I'm clothed in Christ? I'm carrying heaven. I'm carrying the power of God. Devil, throw your best shot. Become a spiritual scientist. Start experimenting. They tell you somebody is sick, show up. When you are done praying and your spirit is sad, come look at the person. Say, in the name of Jesus, I give you 3 days, be healed. Check on the first day, check on the second day, check on the third day. If the person is not healed, come back. This time don't talk. Hold the person and command sickness to get out. And don't give 3 days again. Say, now you are healed. And check, check, check. that your business that is dying, no customer is coming. Go to that your contract, go to that your company document that nothing is working. Carry it and put on the ground. Pray in the Holy Ghost. When you finish praying, carry the paper and say, now in the name of Jesus, all men seek you. Now in the name of Jesus, doors are open. Now in the name of Jesus, I command you to prosper. Go to that your ministry where nothing is working. Forget about everybody. Lock the door. Pray in the Holy Ghost. After 2 hours, stand up and begin to talk to the ministry. In the name of Jesus, you are lost abroad. In the name of Jesus, men are coming. In the name of Jesus, resources are coming. Begin to war with the name. War with the name. War. War with the name. The name is a strong power. Higher, higher, higher. Jesus told us to use his name because he wants to take off pressure from you. If it's about you, you are going to check how many times you fasted, how many hours you prayed. You are going to check when last you sinned, and the pressure will be enormous. But when you come in the name of Jesus, you are spending from another's ATM. You are spending from another's wallet. You are spending from another's economy. It's not about my perfect work. It's about his perfect works. It's not about my faith. It's about his faith. It's not about my power. It's about his power. And so whether I am strong or weak, it no longer matters. In the name of Jesus. Imagine if they gave you Bill Gates' ATM card now and say, go and spend. All of a sudden, you will forget salary. You will ask yourself first, are you sure this is Bill Gates' ATM? They will say yes. They will say no, it's a lie. They say no, that's Bill Gates' ATM. Really? You will first of all go and start looking for ATM that have dollars. Because immediately you know that you have left the economy of Naira. Because Bill Gates does not operate in the realm of Naira. When you find an ATM that has dollars, you will start first with $10,000. When it comes out, you will close one eye and peep. Ah, the money is coming out. Ah, this is probably Bill Gates' ATM. You will go to another place and try $20,000. It will come out. Omo, this is not true. The next thing, you will go to an airline company and say, you see, I'm tired of driving. I want to try a private jet. Give me a Gulfstream.
From the rising
up. Yeah. They will look at you and say, come on, get out. You think we are joking here? Can you buy a Gulfstream? You look at them and laugh. You give them the ATM and say, check. When they use the ATM, they will come back and say, sorry, you need champagne. There's a place we are talking. Because it's not somebody else's ATM. It's no longer about you. It's not about him. But hear this. A greater than Bill Gates is the one you represent. When you come in the name of Jesus, the wealth of heaven is at your disposal. I prophesy over someone. In the name of Jesus, rise up to your next level. Us. God set us up for the abundant life. God set us up for the glorious life. Now, imagine again that you are carrying
this ATM, this precious ATM. You know, you don't. Oh, hey! Imagine you are carrying this ATM, and then you now go to a store. Will you be thinking, what can I buy? You'll be thinking, what can Bill Gates buy? Anything Bill Gates can buy, I can buy. And so when you come for a miracle service, will you start looking for headache? No, you will start with cancer. Because you know Jesus can heal cancer. Jesus can raise the dead. It's only what Jesus can do that becomes your testimony. Anything you can do is not a testimony. Only what Jesus can do can be a testimony. Somebody shout! Jesus, does your age matter? When you come in the name of Jesus, does your sex matter? Does your race matter? Because now you are spending from his qualification. You are spending from his economy. You are spending from his power. This is why even children can walk signs and wonders. It's no longer about your credentials. It's about his credentials. I prophesy over someone. This is the morning of your life. This is the morning of your life. This is the morning of your life. Somebody shout! Shalapateke Barakata! Bakere Barakato! Fantakipa! A video some years ago, a tiny man will come out and he will look at a giant and start challenging the giant. He will hit the person, and the giant will look at this tiny man and say, "Ah, is he drunk?" At first, he will laugh. He feels maybe he's just being foolish. The guy will hit the giant again. The person will now, "What's wrong with you, man? You want to die?" And the guy will still hit him. When the giant becomes angry and wants to fight, then suddenly another giant will come out and stand before this person. You now understand where the audacity came from. He's not hitting the giant because he's strong. He's hitting the giant because the one he came with is a superpower. Everything intimidating you is about to go down. Because right now, when you show up, Jesus shows up. When you appear, Jesus appears. I prophesy, this is the day of your rising. This is the day of your rising. This is the day of your rising. In the name of Jesus.
What a man.
Wow. Do you see why we have audacity? Do you see why we have boldness? I know I fast. I know I pray. I know I give. But I know it's not about my prayer. It's not about my fasting. It's not about my giving. When the time for manifestation comes, I step aside for the Lion of the tribe of Judah to appear, for the one that defeated death to appear, for the one that defeated sickness to appear. And every time he shows up, the record is constant. He will always win. That's why I am not called a conqueror. Jesus is the conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. When he conquers, he gives me the spoils. I'm the taker of the spoils. I'm the inheritor of the victory. I decree over you, you will rise again. Now lift your hands and receive. Your name is Isaiah.
Above all the names.
Begin to command those mountains to go down now. In the name of Jesus, begin to make those commands.
Against your crisis. But that's the wrong formula. When crisis comes, you step aside and compare the crisis with your master. Compare the crisis with your Lord. Compare the crisis with your King. And then the moment that happens, you will see your crisis vanish. The devil deceives us to compare ourselves with the problem because he has made us big in our own eyes. But the power, the glory, the honor, and the stature of a believer is Christ in him. That's why Paul said, we grow into him. We grow into him. We can never be apart from him. That's where our victory is. That's how we live the heavenly life on the earth. The ascended reality in the now. And now God is about to change somebody's story. You know the way God does this? Sometimes he's so eager to do it and he begins to whisper to you. To show you some of the things he's already doing. Because something is about to shift right now. But my joy tonight is not what God is doing now. It's what God will be doing with you. Because somebody will leave this meeting fired up and intoxicated. Ah! They will say somebody died. They will say in the name of Jesus. They will say somebody is deaf. You will say in the name of Jesus. They will say somebody's blind. You say in the name of Jesus. They say somebody just lost a job. You say in the name of Jesus. And you will notice that every one of us will become a sign and a wonder to our world. Are you ready for the mountains to vanish? You know, the Holy Ghost just whispered to me. There's somebody on this row, this particular row I'm pointing, not too far to the back. You have been having this flow, this menstrual flow, very irregular. Sometimes it doesn't stop. The Lord just told me He healed that person just now. Oh dear Lord Jesus, how wonderful Jesus is. See, close to this guy standing with the camera here, I'm seeing somebody with an excruciating ulcer condition. It's an intestinal issue. God just told me He's healed that. You can't even take anything pepperish. Sometimes when you drink even as simple as Coke, you throw up because of that injury of the intestine. Just close to this guy here. Is there anybody there like that? Terrible ulcer. God is telling me He just touched you. Wow. Can you lift your hands toward heaven? I didn't want to call that case out because it's a bit sensitive, and so I don't want to put pressure on that person. But Jesus is already touching people. Mountains are already going. I'm telling you. Now lift your hands toward heaven and tell the Lord, I apologize for magnifying my problem beyond your name. Now I know how glorious you are. And so I receive my miracle now. I receive my answers now. I receive my healing now. I receive my wonders now. I receive everything you gave through Christ now, Father.
By your blood, you crushed principalities. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. By your name, you established authority. Jesus, Jesus the righteous. Oh, Jesus.
Tonight is to address diseases and especially terminal infirmities. You came here with a heart condition. You came here with a kidney condition. You came with a blood condition. You came with an affliction, pains in your body, arthritis of all sorts, ear conditions, eye conditions. This is your time. I want to make it very simple so you will know. There's nothing special about the one ministering. It's not about a title. It's about faith in the name of Jesus. Now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the spirits of infirmities. Everyone here under the oppression of the devil, right now I command you devils, leave them now. I command the chains of infirmities to break from your bodies now. Eyes that cannot see, begin to see. Ears that cannot hear, begin to hear. Arthritis pains and all kinds of pains in the body, in the name of Jesus, be gone. I command growth in the body, in the breast, in the head, in the brain, in any part of the body causing sickness. Right now, in the name of Jesus, be gone. I command blood conditions be healed. Organ conditions be healed.
liver, kidney, lungs, every organ infirmity, in the name of Jesus, go right now. I command paralysis of all sorts in the name of Jesus, come out of their body. I command every part of your body immobilized. Receive life now. Receive life now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. My goodness, chains are breaking now. I speak to your finances. I speak to your circumstances. Every manipulation of the devil, shutting doors against people, shutting opportunities against people, in the name of Jesus, the risen Christ, let those doors open now. Let those doors open now. Let those doors open now. In the name of Jesus. Is this not a better way to live your life? Instead of begging and seeking favor from people, you just stand somewhere and give commandments. Listen, in Christ we have become commanders. You talk and circumstances bow. Not because you are prophet or apostle, but because you are a child of God. If you are a child of God, it's enough. What's that song again?
You raise
no.
me.
I'm no longer. To fear. Can you give me that song? Lift your hands toward heaven. If for everyone.
I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Sing, I'm no longer.
I'm no longer. I say.
Do you know why we are singing? Because I'm showing you, the best of God is not reserved for a prophet. The best of God is not reserved for an apostle. The best of God is not reserved for a pastor. The best of God is reserved for a child of God. So that every one of us can equally participate in the commonwealth of heaven. Are you following? Lift your hands and receive. There's an anointing that will begin to descend here as we sing now. Ushers, you have to help me now. Because these ones are about to enter the realm of ministry. They are not just receiving, but there is a grace coming here for them to begin to minister. The anointing of the Spirit, the empowerment of the Spirit is about to descend here. Ah!
I am a child of God.
I'm no longer.
I'm no longer.
I want to make a declaration for God to anoint the hands of people to work wonders. But I'm seeing somebody's hands just lengthening out. I'm trying to understand what that means in the spirit. But please lift your hands now.
there is an anointing that will come upon you now to make you a wonder to your generation. Just be quiet. Be quiet. I felt led to take time to teach this so that you can go with it. Just play the keyboard for me gently. There's an anointing. There are about 40 persons. I don't know why God is doing something massive, but it's for a crowd. It's for a crowd. And so I release that unction. I release that unction. I release that unction. I release that unction. Last day warriors. Last day servants of God. Carriers of powers and graces eternal. If you are around someone that God is touching, you don't have to be an usher. Help them quickly. We are out of time. Take that fire. Ah.
Ojo du dabu eno ohiminiye agbata kibitiye ene du dabu eno ojo du dabu eno ohiminiye agbata kibitiye.
Ushers, help me, help me, help me. Help me quickly. Bring those God is touching here now. We are about to go to a higher realm. I don't want them to be angels. Now hear me. Hear me. I checked my time. I discovered time is fast spent. I'm pressed now. I wish I came a bit earlier. Now hear this. Check your bodies. Just check what you couldn't do before. Something supernatural has happened to you. A growth has left you. You couldn't see. Now you are seeing. You had a bone condition, a pain or something. It has gone. Something has happened to you. I'm seeing God about to give people a fresh wine. But I'm trying to bring administration to what's happening here. Before we launch there, let's give God thanks. Check your body. Your heart was palpitating. There was an ulcer pain. There was a growth. Something has happened to you. Can you check, 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 check? If you have noticed the healing, can I see your hand? You have noticed the healing. You have noticed the healing. Tangible healing. Can I see your hand? Now hear this, hear this, hear this. Everyone God is healing tonight, He's going to give a power for a sign and a wonder. Hear this. Because of that, I'm going to call you to this platform. But please, don't mob me, okay? After we are done, I'll shake everybody, I'll hug you, but so that we have some level of order. I did this invitation one time, and they almost killed me. So please, this body, if you kill it, this ministry will end. So, how many of you have a touch? There's a tangible healing. Quickly, from where you are, run to the altar here.
Agbata kibiti ye. Ene du dabu eno.
Ene du dabu eno.
Ojo du dabu eno.
Ojo du dabu eno.
Omi mini ye. Agbata kibiti ye.
Thank you.
weight of people on the stage is too much. So those of us here, we can't come up. Just stand by this side. Stand by this side. See the people that have been healed. Hope you know you are not sensing fire. I just taught you the word. Stand this way, stand that way. Those of you here, see the people healed. You were not sensing fire. You were not sensing something. You just believe in the name of Jesus. Not because those feelings are bad, but the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sensory perception. You can do this in your office. You can do this in the market, anywhere. Now, the question is, which testimony are we going to take? Those of you here, come this way. And those of you from there, go that way. Let's stand. My God. See people on the eye. There are still people on the eye. They have been healed. They can't even come out. Kaduna, who did this?
Jesus. In Christ I'm free. No chains are holding me. It's who I'm born to be. I'm free indeed.
I'm free indeed.
In Christ,
oh. In Christ I'm free.
Now hear this. Where's the pulpit? Have you carried the pulpit? Okay. Now let me tell you something. I wasn't feeling the anointing, no. I was just talking the word of God. I was just sharing the truth of God's word. I can tell you, if you believe this thing, every day of your life will be heaven on earth. When you call the name of Jesus, things happen, brothers and sisters. Things happen. See the people who have been healed. Now let me show you how we take this kind of testimonies. How many of you were healed of ear condition? Ear. You had an ear condition. Maybe you couldn't hear, or there's a pain. Lift your hands. Somebody help me count those healed of ear condition. Help me count. How many? I'm seeing a hand there. Ear. They are deaf or they couldn't hear well or something. How many? Who is counting? This little boy, come here, brother.
You move mountains. You cause walls to fall.
Look at my brother.
It's your power.
Wait a minute. What was wrong with your ear? Wait a minute. Can we hear him? Talk a bit louder, okay? What was wrong with your ear? He said water was coming out of his ear. Which of the ear? The left ear. What happened now? It's not coming out again. Somebody shout Jesus!
Jesus!
Even the little one. What happened to this small girl? What happened to you? Your what? Your head was paining you. What happened now?
It's gone.
It's gone. My brothers and sisters, we are not disadvantaged. We are not a pitiable people looking for who will help us. We are the light of the world. We are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. You are a wonder to your generation. Fear not! Don't let the devil intimidate you. You have the greatest weapon on planet earth. Is the name of Jesus. How many of you were healed of eye conditions? Eye. Who is counting? Quickly. Eye condition. You couldn't see well. You were blind or something. How many persons?
Only because
Seven persons were healed of eye condition. How many of you noticed a growth or a boil? Something left your body. A growth vanished from your body because the Holy Ghost told me that. Count them. Growth. Either in the breast or somewhere. Growth just left. A tumor left. Who is counting?
With your power.
How many? You had a growth? A fibroid. You could feel it? Come on, sister. You had fibroid?
Yes, sir.
And you could feel it. It used to be strong there.
Yes.
And you had pain.
Yes.
What happened now?
I'm not feeling it.
Fibroid just vanished, my brothers and sisters. Breaking news from heaven. Fibroid just vanished. Somebody give the Lord a shout. It's permanent. Now hear this. How many people did growth leave their body? Growth. How many did left their bodies? How many of you had a bone condition? Help me since. You had a fracture, you had an accident, bone condition. Help me count.
You perform miracles.
My God. The anointing is heavy on mama. Mama, hey, let's manage this atmosphere. Mama, my goodness. Kirokapa Aketorua. Verika Azuzo Kavakaras Zanata. Peace be still.
You.
Mama, you had a bone condition. What was the problem?
About 9 years ago.
9 years ago?
Yes, that I'm feeling pain, waves, and my bone. Even as I'm coming here since I was.
From your waist down?
Yes.
You couldn't even sit down?
Sit down, be raising my force.
What happened now?
I'm feeling more than
Malahudua.
There is power in your faith.
See, if you start practicing faith in the name of Jesus, your life will shock you. Your life, it will shock you. The way things will happen, you will be amazed. Lift your hands up.
There is power in your name. Oh,
miracles happen in your name.
As I lift my voice in prayer, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
There is power in your name.
There is power in your name.
Miracles happen in your name.
Miracles happen in your name.
Now lift your hands, please. I want us to be very quiet because what is about to happen now? Lift your hands. Somebody is about to be intoxicated with power. There are different wines in the spirit. There is a wine called the wine of power. It will come on somebody now like an intoxicating agent. Father, Malakoberahata. Let me reduce the number to 14 so that we can manage it. Lord, right now, give them a fresh wine. Give them a fresh wine. Give them a fresh wine. Apostle.
Like rain. Let your glory fall like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall.
Shahapakas habenedek.
Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall.
Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire burn everywhere.
Dispensation, God raises men. There are men God raises and gives them a voice for their generation. And there are other men God raises and makes them custodians over territories so that they can represent his interest in those borders. There are most of you here God is raising, but we use him as a point of contact. When I came here for this conference, the Lord gave me words for him. And the first thing God told me, he said, I have given you this city. And so what you are seeing in this conference will become your normal meetings. Because now you have become one of the custodians over this land. The power and the authority to guard over this city. And the grace, the capacity for your spirit to cover it like a mother hen is released upon you from this season. And I see your roots spreading to different cities and to different nations. By the time we gather here next year, people will congregate in different states and in different nations, connecting as sons and daughters of this tribe. And finally, the Lord is about to make you a company. And so your marital destiny has opened. By the time we gather again, that door would have opened. And Ebenezer will guard and make it happen. I speak over the Anakazo Missions International. I decree by the mercies of God, become one of the covering of this generation. Men will come from nations far and wide to drink of the waters of the Spirit, to taste of the purity of the Word of God. And from this day, the Lord raises you as part of the assemblies that He will give ranking in the last days. Ah, your horn has been exalted. Your horn has been exalted. From now, you will stand with elders. And even the investment of honor on your life has increased. You will rise up from here as a guardian and as a custodian. And from today, you will not just be father to people, you will be father to territories. Because many things have come to you at this time. When we gather here next year, you will be known by another name. Because when the mighty are counted, your name will be there. The authority, the favor, the grace required for these investments to be so, I release upon you. As a father blesses a son, I decree that from today, become many times bigger than everything I represent. And let the dynasty of God's dealings with you be from generations to generation. Even the horn of the miraculous on your life is exalted. From today, when you travel, it will not just be the word of God men will receive, the purity of the word, but the power of God will be on display for signs and for wonders. Because God has raised you as His intervention strategy for a generation. And so you will not only bring light and direction, you will transfer eternal heritages and you will bring the power of God to bear. When you appear, God's answers will appear. And from today, your wings are enlarged. Mount up and go higher to places where the warriors of old and the patriarchs of old ascended to in Christ and operate from there. This is your time. This is your hour. And so manifest the grace of God. And I speak every warfare that brought men down who walk the path you are walking. You are invincible to those battles. Every attack of the devil and every manipulation of the devil will only raise you higher. Because God will use you as a parable to a generation. When the stories of Ephah is told, it will be said that God was merciful to a man. When the story of Ephah is told, it will be said that God displayed His majesty through a human vessel. Because honor, dignity, and power will become the emblems of God's manifestation on your life. And when you stand, you will stand like a mighty tree under which many come to find rest. So let it be written. And so let it be established. In Jesus' precious name. I bless everyone present tonight. This is the least of yourself you will ever see. For most of you, your versions will be updated 1,000 times. You'll become 1,000 times better than you walked into this place. I release upon you the grace for speed. I release upon you the grace for favor. And I release upon you the capacity to walk in the authority of the living God. From today, nations will hear you. And everything that comes out of you will attract the attention of kings. You will be relevant in your generation and beyond. It will be said of you, you are a joy of many generations. I proclaim over this land, let the forces of revival begin to move in this territory. The Lord exalt the horns of many, and the wind of revival will blow again in Kaduna like it was in the days of the fathers. And as that army rises, you are part of it. Because you will play your part. And upon you, the glory of the Lord will be seen. So let it be written, and so let it be established. In Jesus' precious name.
Glory to God. We trust that you have been blessed by God's word today. Well, you can follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnakazoMissionInternational.AMI or join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. Thank you. Remain blessed.